Well, we're going to get into a few things. Some of you are aware of this. You know, last Sunday, Matt Hogan, who we just sent off into Kids Church, he ministered the word. And, you know, if you've been here at all, you know that I kind of have felt like the Lord wanted me to kind of let others share every 4 to 6 weeks, have them share, whether it's people in here or others from the outside or whatever, just because you need people's other gifts. You need the gifts of other people to be ministering as well. Amen? Amen. And so, you know, in the month of December, Brother Rafael Santana is going to be sharing. I don't know the exact date off the top of my mind, off the top of my head, but the end of December, he's going to be sharing the Word of God. And so, again, just opportunities for people to share and minister as we are led by the Holy Spirit and as God uses them in those ways. And so, last week, Matt shared. I hope you were blessed. It was on the resurrection. And I believe, you know, how many of you think that the resurrection, you don't have to wait till Easter time to preach on the resurrection? Amen? Can you say amen? Because without the resurrection, there's no salvation. Amen? And so the message of the resurrection is good all year long. Amen? Amen. And so today, prior to last week, I started a series on the presence and power of worshiping God. The presence and power of worshiping God. And so this is part 3 in that series. I'm going to do a little bit of review, and then we're going to launch off into this. We're going to talk about Thanksgiving. How many of you know giving of thanks is part of our worship and our praise of God? Amen? Amen. And so from some of the review from the last time, let's just look at it. Our main text has been John chapter 4, verses 5 through 24, where Jesus is speaking to the Samaritan woman and shares with her a number of things. And we won't go to the passage right now because, again, this is review. But notice what, again, just to message this or give you this again, in John 4, 23 and 24, Jesus says this to the Samaritan woman. He says, "But the hour is coming and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." And so we mentioned the fact that Jesus really is prophesying, and He is saying essentially that the day's coming when it's not going to be anymore like what was happening with the Jews and the Samaritans at that time. It's not going to be a ritualistic, dead kind of worship. It's going to be worship that is from the heart, and it's going to be in spirit and in truth, which means it's going to be anointed. It's going to be a genuine worship that is from the heart, and it's going to be poured out to God in such a powerful way. And again, I want to declare to you that true, powerful, sincere worship is something that can really affect our lives in a tremendous way. God doesn't need our worship, does He? How many of you know God doesn't need anything? God doesn't need our praise. He doesn't need our worship. And He doesn't really need us. The idea that God needs anything kind of eliminates the idea that He's God. He got along for eternity past without any of us. Isn't that right? No, He lacks nothing, but you and I need to be able to worship Him. Now, in Isaiah, and Jesus quoted this also in Matthew chapter 12, I think it was, but in Isaiah 29, verse 13, Isaiah the prophet by the Spirit of God said this, "Therefore the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men." And so what's the prophet saying? And again, Jesus quoted this passage, applying it to us as well then, and that is this, that there were those, and there are those today that would mouth a praise, that they would sing words of praise and worship, but yet their heart is somewhere else. Their mind is somewhere else. They're not really thinking about what they're doing or saying. They're just going through the motions. How many of you know God doesn't want us just going through the motions? He wants our hearts. He wants us to pour out our hearts in praise and worship to Him. And when we do, there is certainly power in the presence of God because He inhabits the praise of His people. Amen? And so I want to encourage you, you know, and remind you, many of you, it's a reminder, and it's an encouragement, I hope, to all of you. I want to remind you that our time of praise and worship is not a preliminary for the rest of the service. It's not something that we do in order so that we wait for everybody else to come. Our time of praise and worship is an essential part of our surrendering to God, and an essential part of our hearts being prepared to receive whatever it is that He desires for us to receive. Are you hearing me here today? Amen. And so again, it's not a preliminary, it's an important part as we pour out our hearts. And we don't want to have our, and again, sometimes we have to discipline ourselves. And I said to you last time that, you know, sometimes my mind draws away. I'm singing the songs and I have to put myself in check. Is everybody with me here today? Somebody said, how do you know people sometimes are, you know, not thinking about the things of God? Well, the Bible that we just shared in Isaiah said that that does happen. But I'll tell you, I know it as well because I have to struggle sometimes. I have a lot on my mind on Sunday mornings, as you can probably fathom. But you know what? I have to make sure I put myself in check and I say, God, I want to focus on you because you know what? Without him, I can't do anything. And the same holds true of you. Amen. Is everybody alive today? Amen. And so these things are so essential. I want to encourage you to put yourself in check. When you're coming, and this is not just for when we gather together. Of course, you know, we ought to be worshiping at home. We ought to be worshiping in the car. If you're worshiping in the car and you're driving, though, keep your eyes open, please. Keep your eyes open, all right? But nevertheless, you know, our whole life should be a life of worship. And as I shared with you, and I'll just reiterate this real quickly, we're focusing on the idea of praise and worship and song and music. But you know what? You can worship, you know, working for the Lord. Doing things for God is a form of worship, isn't it? Are you hearing what I'm saying? I mean, even your giving should be a form of worship. Whatever we do from God, for God, it ought to be a form of worship. We're showing him how much we see him as worthy, amen? Worthy of our attention in every way, all right? And so again, this is so essentially important. Now, Dr. Jack Hayford, who's in heaven now, he wrote this, worship is both the means by which we may enter the presence of God and the means by which he is welcomed, I love this, the means by which he is welcomed into the midst of our world. You know, you have to understand some things, and we can see it from Scripture, that, you know, our worship many times opens up the path or opens up our hearts and lives and gives God an opportunity to do something that maybe he wasn't able to do prior to that. You say, you mean God's not able? You know, God, sometimes, you know, it seems like, in fact, John Wesley said this once. He said, and this is somewhat paraphrased, he said, it seems that God cannot do anything on the earth unless someone prays. Now, you know, I'm sure that there are times God does things just sovereignly, but you know what? He has given authority to us as believers. And so that has an element of truth to it. And praise and worship is a type of prayer, isn't it? Some would suggest that it's the highest form of prayer as we praise and worship God as well. And so this is, I think that you see, this is so important and it's so lacking in churches. It's lacking in our church in many ways, I believe. It's lacking in many churches. And I'll say this again. You know, a lot of times in churches today, all right, if you haven't gotten mad so far, this might make you mad. But I'm not out to make anybody mad. We just want to learn and grow, amen? But you know, in a lot of churches today, the time of praise and worship up on the stage is more like a concert. But I'll tell you, the best worship leaders are not necessarily those that can sing the best or play the best. The best worship leaders are those that are worshiping God themselves. Are you following what I'm saying to you? Amen? It's not supposed to be a concert. It's not supposed to be entertainment. It's supposed to be leading the whole congregation and worshiping God in sincerity and in truth. Amen? Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Amen? Amen. Let's go on with this before I run out of time completely. Now, last time, we mentioned this idea that one of the biggest reasons why we want to worship God is because God commands us to worship him. And I mentioned to you how C.S. Lewis, the great defender of the faith, you know, he wrote a book called Mere Christianity and many other books as well. He was a one-time atheist, but then he had a revelation of Jesus Christ, and he came to Christ and became a powerful defender or apologist for Christianity. He struggled with this idea. Why does God command us to worship? Does God have an ego problem? Is he an egomaniac? Why does he command us to? And he wrote this because God showed him, and I think this is powerful. And this is review as well. But he said this, the Scotch Catechism says that man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. But we shall then know that these are the same thing. Fully to enjoy is to glorify. In commanding us to glorify him, God is inviting us to enjoy him. I want you to just have that settled down on the inside of you. And I mentioned to you, and I think it bears witness because some were not here last week. I think this bears witness because, you know, these certain ideas, you know, need to be repeated over and over again when they're truths, right? And so, you know, you think about this, and I got thinking about it. You know, when you enjoy something, you rave about it. When you enjoy something, you sing its praises, so to speak. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you enjoy football, you'll sing its praises. You'll talk about your favorite quarterback, your favorite team, and all these things. You'll sing its praise. You'll rave about your football team. But you know what? God wants us to enjoy Him more than anything else in our lives. And if we're going to rave over football or golf or music or whatever, we're going to rave over that. Should we not much more be raving and giving and singing the praises of our God whom we enjoy? Amen? Amen. Much more than any of those other things, we should be raving and magnifying Him because He wants us to enjoy Him. And as we enjoy Him, we want to praise and worship Him more. And then as we do, He ministers back to us. It's that giving and receiving once again where we'll give Him that praise and we'll find out the blessing of the Lord in our lives in so many ways, in ways we would never expect. Notice now, and this is still review, but then some. I'm kind of infamous for the then some with our reviews. But remember 1 Peter 2, 4 and 5, Peter says this, by the Spirit of God, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also as living stones. How many of you know you are compared to living stones? If you were here Thursday nights, you know that this is really referencing the temple and that Jesus is the living stone. In another place, he's called the cornerstone. And if you know anything about the cornerstone of a building is that part of the building. And you construction guys, you correct me, but not now. Correct me if I'm wrong. But the cornerstone kind of sets things in order, kind of gets things square. You understand? How many of you know if you build a building, you need it to be square? Not a square building, but it needs to be, you understand, 90-degree angles on that. You follow what I'm saying? And so the cornerstone is essential, isn't it, for the rest of the building to be set right and to be built correctly. And so Jesus is the cornerstone, but it says in this metaphor that we as believers are living stones being built up what? A spiritual house. Our bodies are the temple of the living God, and then we as corporate believers become a temple of the living God as well. And again, a metaphorical way, but the main thing I want to emphasize here, though that is important, is that he also says that we are a holy priesthood to offer up what? Spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You know, under the old covenant, they gave what? They gave animal sacrifices, but we know that we don't have to do that anymore because Jesus was the once and for all sacrifice. He shed his blood as the final Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world, right? But yet there are spiritual sacrifices that you and I are to give in our lives as a holy priesthood. And as I think I shared 2 weeks ago, you know, we all as believers in Christ are biblically called priests. Did you know that? Amen? And biblically, every true born-again believer is biblically called a saint. And so, you know, I know that that goes crossways to a lot of the way our thinking is, but we want to be biblical. Saint means a holy one. You know, in Christ, you are holy. In your spirit, you are holy. You may not always act saintly, but scripturally, spiritually, you've been made a saint because he's made you holy on the inside. And as you grow in Christ, you become more and more holy on the outside, right? How many of you know Christ works from the inside out? Religion, in general, works from the outside and tries to get in, but it won't get in. Jesus said to the Pharisees, on the inside, you know, you whitewash your outside, but on the inside, you're full of dead men's bones. Isn't that what he said? And essentially, he's saying clean up the inside first so that the outside can be clean. And so therefore, again, he's really giving biblical truth, New Testament truth, that in Christ we've been made new creations inside right away so that we're empowered to progressively be more and more like Christ on the outside. We're to offer up these spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, it says this also in Hebrews 13, 15 through 16. Are you getting anything out of this morning? The writer of Hebrews says this, therefore, by him, let us continually offer what? The sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. And so we're to give up of these spiritual sacrifices, one of which is plainly stated as the sacrifice of praise, giving him thanks. And so obviously, and I know that all of you that are believers definitely know this, you know that just because, you know, Thursday this week is called Thanksgiving, we ought to be giving thanks all week long. We ought to be giving thanks every day, all year long. Isn't that right? because we've got a lot to be thankful for, a lot to be thankful for. You know, in these last days, though, notice, and I'm going to pick this up now, this is no longer review. Is everybody with me? Are you getting anything out of this? You know, it says you're living stones. That means you ought to look a little lively. Look a little lively. Amen. Even those amens weren't that lively. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. It's on the screen. And Paul, by the Holy Spirit, says this, describing the characteristics of people of the last days. He says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous or dangerous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents." Notice the next one. Unthankful. Then he goes on, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. This is a powerful passage, would you agree? And it's describing, I think that most of you, if you really think about this, this certainly describes, it doesn't solely describe our day, but it certainly describes the day we're living in. More and more all the time, it seems to me. When you read the news, when you see and hear of all the things that are going out throughout our world, through our nation, I mean, people killing people for no reason at all, just people they don't even know just for the thrill of it, or because they've got demonic impressions in their minds and they're hearing voices to kill a certain person. I mean, people are violent today. People are crazy today. Are you hearing me here today? And so many of the things that we look at in this, disobedient to parents, blasphemers, proud, all these various things, no self-control. But then amongst all of this is being unthankful. Unthankful. And boy, we as believers, we have a lot to be thankful about, don't we? If we look at a Psalm 100, many of you might have learned this when you were in children's ministry years ago. Notice Psalm 100, and we do it in this context. It reads this way, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord." I'll just pause there. You know, it's okay to get excited in church. Amen? Can you say amen? Amen? Amen. Maybe you heard some people shouting today. That's okay. It says, make a joyful shout to the Lord. That's okay. Somebody say, well, God's not hard of hearing. No, but God's not nervous either. And if you read the book of Revelation, you're going to find out that in the book of Revelation, it shows that it's pretty noisy in heaven with people giving praise. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing, knowing that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We're His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and to His courts with praise. Now, we could go back to the tabernacle concerning that. I won't elaborate on it, but enter into the gate of the tabernacle where God's presence was. Enter into the gate of the court, the outer court, with praise and thanksgiving. Into His courts with prayer. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. Why? For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. So we praise Him. Why? Because He's a good God, a merciful God, and what? He is a God who has the truth. He prevails with truth. Amen? Amen. Now, Bible reasons to be thankful. Are you ready? I'm going to give you a lot of stuff here. You're going to get a lot of material here. Is that okay? But you know, again, as we approach even this holiday that we call Thanksgiving, it's good to be reminded to be thankful. And so Bible reasons to be thankful, these certainly won't be all the reasons to be thankful, but there's some of the reasons we can see in Scripture. First of all, be thankful for deliverance from sin and Satan. Are you thankful for that? You know, I give several scriptures here, and we don't have time to go to all of them. You can take a picture and look at them yourself later or whatever the case is. But the Bible says you've been set free from the power of sin. Not only have you and I been forgiven of sin, the Bible says in Romans 6 especially, it makes it very clear where Paul, by the Spirit of God, says, sin shall not have dominion over you. And he says things like, just as you've yielded your members to unrighteousness, now yield your members to righteousness. He says all sorts of things. He said, again, it shall not have dominion, telling us that in Christ we have dominion over sin now, don't we? Amen. We have the power to resist it in the name of Jesus. And also to resist Satan. We have the power to resist him in temptation. We have the power, you know, the Bible makes it clear, for example, that sickness is an oppression of the devil. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And so there we see in other places that sickness is called an oppression of the devil. And how many of you know you've been delivered from the power of the devil? Are you grateful and thankful for healing? Grateful, thankful for forgiveness, for deliverance, for healing, for being set free from all bondages in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now listen now. You may not feel delivered in all these areas right now. You may not feel like you're delivered, but how many of you know the Bible says you are? And so we never approach it with, this is just one example. I'm not the sick trying to get healed. I am the healed, and the enemy's trying to make me sick. You follow the difference there? Because the Scripture says, by His stripes we were healed. The Scripture says, Galatians 3:13, that we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Part of the curse of the law is sickness and disease, back in Deuteronomy chapter 28, right? And so we got to remember, people say, well, why am I sick? Well, one reason why we're sick sometimes is because there's a war going on, folks. We're in a battle, isn't that right? But we can fight the good fight of faith, and we can resist in Jesus' name. However we need to resist. Same with sin, obviously. We resist sin as well. Is everybody with me here today? And so be thankful for deliverance from sin and Satan. Be thankful because He's given you an inheritance. How many of you know Romans 8, 16 and 17 says that we as believers are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ? I mean, you know, that includes things we can't even fathom right now. I'm sure of that. There's some things that we inherit in this earth, but there's an inheritance coming in the next world, isn't there? Beyond what we could think of. I often think of 1 John 3 and the first couple of verses. It says this, "Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." What an awesome passage, amen? We don't know everything. We can't see everything. We can't even fathom or imagine everything. But thank God we know when we see Him face to face, things are going to get a whole lot clearer for us. Isn't that right? And He's got a future for us. He's got an inheritance beyond the inheritance of this life. And it's something definitely to look forward to as well. So be thankful because He's given you an inheritance. Be thankful for His goodness and His mercy. You can read Psalm 136 on your own where He talks about, oh, give thanks for the Lord, to the Lord for His good. His mercy endures forever. And He goes into all sorts of different things. He's a good God and He's a merciful God. Also, be thankful. Be thankful for eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes, you know, we get so caught up with this life. We get so caught up with the natural life that we forget about or we don't think about the eternal life. You know, if we begin to focus on the eternal life, I believe that that will change our natural life in so many ways. You know, I think of Galatians 2:20, Paul speaking again by the Holy Spirit. He says, "I have been crucified with Christ." Now, don't think this was just about Paul. This is for every believer. It applies to you and I as well. I have been crucified with Christ. You have been crucified with Christ. What does that mean? That means when Christ died, He represented you. And so, because you and I are the ones that deserve death, isn't that right? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And so, again, we deserve death, but Jesus bore it for us. And so, when Paul says, "I have been crucified with Christ," he is saying, "I identify with His crucifixion. In Christ I died." In Colossians, I think it's the third chapter, says, basically, in Christ we died. And so, "I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live," Paul says. Same for every believer. "Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." And so now we have Christ's life on the inside of us. Man, when we focus on that fact, how can anything successfully overcome us? Christ lives in us by the Spirit of God. Greater is He who lives in us than he who is in the world. 1 John 4:4, amen? More powerful is He who dwells within us than he that is in the world. I'm not overcome, I'm an overcomer. I'm not overwhelmed, I'm overwhelming the enemy. Isn't that right? I'll not be defeated. I'm the head and not the tail. Again, we're quoting Scripture here. It applies to all believers. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above only and not beneath. And I'm going over. I'm not going under. How about you? Amen? Is everybody okay here today? I'm thankful for that. How about you? Be thankful for victory over death in the grave. Even though we may die physically, if Jesus doesn't come first, Aren't you glad there's a resurrection coming? I mean, there's a day when this mortal body is going to put on immortality. If I die ahead of time, my body that's become corrupted or decayed is going to put on incorruption. Because there's coming a day, there's going to be a shout from heaven if we're here. Amen. It'll happen anyway, even if we're not here. But if we're here, we're going to hear it. Isn't that right? That there's going to be a shout from heaven and the voice of an angel and a trumpet that's going to call. And praise God, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. I'll be amongst them if I die ahead of time, and so will you. But those that are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord are going to be caught up together with Him. Aren't you looking forward to that day? Amen? Amen. That's something to be thankful for. And then also be thankful as you pray, as an expression of your faith. You know, Philippians 4, 6 through 8, it talks about don't be worried about anything. It says in verse 6 of Philippians 4. It says, be anxious for nothing. Don't be fretful or have anxiety about anything, but instead, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Amen? And so you thank Him for the answer before you see the answer. That's what faith does. It thanks Him ahead of time based on the Word of God, based on the Scripture. You thank Him for the answer before you see it in the natural. And then going on with this again, be thankful for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and for your spiritual language. If you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, see, we're of the Pentecostal persuasion. If you're a guest here today, you might not know what that means, but in Acts 2, 1 through 4, it says this, that on the day of Pentecost, they were all gathered together in one place, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, filled all the place where they were sitting. This is the early disciples, the first disciple, filled all the place where they were sitting, and there appeared upon their heads tongues like as a fire, and it says that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues or languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. And that caused confusion with other people. They came gathering together, heard them speaking in other languages, wondered what it meant, and it gave Peter a platform to preach the gospel, and he preached, and thousands got saved. And then he said that promise of the filling of the Holy Spirit to you and to your children and to all that will call upon the name of the Lord. That's an experience for all believers. I remember when I was 17 years old, which was not that long ago, 17 years old, it was 1978, I turned 18 in 78, but this was in the fall before I turned 18, and so in 1978, I remember hearing about this baptism in the Holy Spirit. I'd accepted Christ when I was 12. My grandfather died, broke my heart, and I reached out to Jesus, and I got saved. But then when I was 17, I heard about this other experience of the Holy Spirit. And I believed God, I prayed, I asked to be filled, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I was. And I spoke in that spiritual language. And it changed my life. It changed my life, not as much as salvation, that's the most important thing. But it changed my life in terms of my relationship growing with God. It's an amazing thing. I don't know about you, but I'm grateful. I'm thankful to God for that experience. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for that experience. I would have never went in the ministry. I didn't even like preachers. But something happened. Jesus changed everything. Amen. And then be thankful for the food God provides. I don't know, you know, when I was a missionary, man, I'm going to tell you, there were times we went hungry. I'll be honest with you. We went hungry sometimes. And every time I sit down and eat, I think it's safe to say almost. I'll say almost so I don't exact. Almost every time I sit down and eat and I look at that plate of food, I remember when I was a missionary and didn't have enough sometimes. And I'm so grateful for that food. Sometimes we take for granted things because we've always had things. I'm grateful. How about you? Amen? Amen. Bible reasons to be thankful. Be thankful for the fellowship of other believers. I'm thankful for all of you. I'm thankful for other believers because iron sharpens iron, doesn't it? We should build each other up. We should strengthen each other. And then also, be thankful that you live in a free country. So far, it's free. Free compared to many others. Isn't that right? Be thankful for what we have. Take advantage of it, pray, believe God. It's going to remain free because we need to get the gospel out freely. Amen? Amen. Now, closing this up, some things. What does the heart of thanksgiving do for us? First of all, it helps us keep everything in perspective. When we're worshiping God in spirit and in truth in a genuine way, it helps us keep things in perspective. You know, that reference of Numbers 21, the children of Israel started complaining. You know, they started complaining about, you know, not enough water, you know, food, all that kind of thing. They were complaining to Moses and to God. And I won't go through the whole scenario, but some of them died as a result of judgment. But you know what happened was they lost perspective because those same people had been delivered from the bondage of Egypt and the bondage of Pharaoh under the beatings and the terrorizing of the Egyptians. They got delivered from that, and now they're out in the wilderness, and now they're complaining to God. Did they forget? Did they forget the Red Sea supernaturally opening up so that they could cross over? Did they forget all the miracles that God did, even prior to that, in sending the plagues to help along this idea that Pharaoh would finally let them go? Did they forget all the things God had done? They did. Why? Because they forgot to be thankful for what God had already done and began to complain instead. But being thankful helps you keep perspective. Also, thanksgiving helps us keep our tongues from sinning. How many of you would agree with that? You can read those scriptures on your own. The giving of thanks helps keep us filled with the Holy Spirit. I wanted to elaborate on that, but I am running out of time. But it says in Ephesians chapter 5, and the verses there that I have, 18 through 20, it says this, Paul by the Spirit of God, again anointed and inspired by the Spirit of God, he says this, do not be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but he says be filled with the Spirit. The idea in the Greek, as I understand it, is it's a continual thing. Be being filled. Be constantly filled with the Spirit. You know, I've been filled with the Spirit, but how many of you know sometimes you need a refilling? You understand? You need a refreshing of the Spirit of God. He tells us one way to get that refilling or that refreshing. He says, be being filled with the Spirit. How? By singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks in everything. Now, he doesn't say give thanks for everything, because some things he has nothing to do with. You don't give thanks for things he didn't give you. You don't give thanks for sickness because he didn't give you that sickness. But in the midst of sickness, give him thanks for goodness. Give him thanks for his mercy. Give him thanks for healing in Jesus' name. Are you hearing me here today? Amen. And so the giving of thanks helps keep us filled with the Spirit. The giving of thanks creates an atmosphere for the miraculous. And next week, God willing, we're going to pick up right there, and we're going to talk some more about the atmosphere for the miraculous that many, many, many times praise and worship opens up the floodgates, if you will, for the miraculous to take place in our lives. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Just stand for a minute. We're going to receive communion in a few moments, but I want you to just kind of stretch, and let's just pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and praise you for all the goodness you've displayed, that you've given us, Lord God, that goodness, that mercy. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for healing. Thank you for filling us with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for all the things that you have for us as your heirs, the heirs of God. Father, we thank you. I pray, Father God, that we'll never forget, that it'll always be put to our remembrance, Lord God, the things that you've done for us. Now, before we go any further, I want to give this invitation as we always do. You might be here today and you'd say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm forgiven. I'm not sure that if I would breathe my last breath or if my heart stopped beating, I'm not sure I'd be in God's presence. But you know, the Bible says you can be sure. As I mentioned earlier, the Bible says that you can know that you have eternal life because it's not by you earning it. You can't earn it. It's too great a thing to gain. You can only gain it by faith in Jesus Christ. So if you're here today and you're not absolutely sure that if you were to die today, and young people die every day as well as old, if you're not absolutely sure, you can be sure. And so if that applies to you, would you have just enough guts, just say, I'm going to raise my hand. I don't care what anybody else thinks. Everybody here ought to think good anyway. But just lift your hand so I can see it. But more importantly, it shows God that you're sincere in your heart, that you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Lest there be even one here today and you're not absolutely sure. I'm not seeing. They're telling me there is one hand. All right. Anybody else? All right, we're going to pray this prayer. This prayer is based on Romans 10, 9, and 10. And we're all going to pray it together, supporting whomever needs to be praying this prayer for the first time. We're all going to pray it together, okay? Let's pray. God in heaven, I thank you that Jesus Christ died for my sins. Jesus, is God, who came in the flesh, sinless in every way, to bear my sin. And so today, I call Jesus the Lord of my life. I turn from sin, and I turn to Jesus. I believe with all my heart, He not only died, but He rose again, and He's alive. So Jesus, come into my life. And with Your help, from this day forward, I will live for You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give God thanks for that. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
We hope that you enjoyed this message and that you were truly blessed by it. If you would like to support the ministry of Abounding Grace Christian Church, there are three ways to give. If you'd like to give online, go to our website, agcc.church, and look for the green tab on the top that says Give Online. You can also text to give by texting the amount to 518-670-4334 or download the My Church website giving app. Find our church by searching our zip code 12303, then create an account. No gift is too small, and we really appreciate all that you give. God bless you.